It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We got a special treat this Monday when Hollywood superstar Michael B. Jordan joins First Take Live on set, the star of the highly anticipated Creed 3, which also features our very own thespian, Stephen A. Smith. He'll be here to talk football as well as his upcoming blockbuster film. We can't wait for that. Don't miss it Monday, 10 a.m. right here on First Take in ESPN. We have some breaking news into First Take this morning. Former Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett has been hired as the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. That according to our Adam Schefter. You can see the tweet right there. Stephen A., what I find interesting is obviously Nathaniel Hackett being with the Jets. We know he has the history with Aaron Rodgers when he was Aaron Rodgers' OC. And you had mentioned yesterday that you think Aaron Rodgers should head to the Jets. So I just wanted to get your reaction on all this.
Well, I don't want to hear that nonsense. I don't even want to bring that up because that's what folks were saying when he went to Denver, that ultimately Aaron Rodgers is going to end up there. And then Russell Wilson ended up landing there. So as far as I'm concerned, for all we know, it's a damn ploy for him to get jobs he doesn't deserve. Here's the reality of the situation. Nathaniel Hackett did a god-awful job in Denver this past season. Could you take a break? I mean, you're getting paid. You had a multi-year contract that you signed. You lost your job after 1 year. We know you're going to get paid. Can you take a break? If you're the New York Jets, what the hell are you doing? Now, you wanted to get rid of Mr. LaFleur. You know, we get all of that. You know, you're going to get rid of Mike LaFleur. I understand that. You have to make a move in a different direction. But Nathaniel Hackett, after the job we just saw their offense do in Denver this past year, ask the Denver defensive players how they feel about Nathaniel Hackett's offense. Why don't you ask them? Because I promise you, it won't be too damn complimentary. Now, they'll probably listen to Dan Orlovsky and not say it publicly because that's not the right thing to do. But they'll feel that way even if they got to keep it to themselves or they're in a circle. They damn sure ain't going to applaud it. They're not going to rave about it. They're not going to endorse it because it wouldn't be the right thing to do. You're the New York Jets. Come on. You didn't have to go in this direction. Nah, I'm not feeling this, Dan Orlovsky. I'm not feeling this at all.
Yeah, you've been wrong a lot today. I don't know what's going on with you. Maybe it's the feeling yourself off the New York Jets. Wrong. You're wrong. Okay. First thing, this is a great decision by the New York Jets and Robert Saleh. Just as good as, like, Torrey and Devin teaming up for Ride or Dies, just as smart as they were to throw Fessy and Mariah in last night. It's a phenomenal decision. Number one, it absolutely advances their chances of getting Aaron Rodgers. Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, has at least reportedly to Peter King, Peter King feels Woody Johnson would gladly give up 2 first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers. Now, the guy that Aaron Rodgers has spoke about multiple times publicly and how much he likes him as a coach and a person is the offensive coordinator. There's 4 teams that I think, let me get that on camera, realistically have a chance to get Aaron Rodgers via a trade, if not in Green Bay. The Las Vegas Raiders, I don't think that's likely. The Tennessee Titans, I don't think he wants to go there. The New York Jets, which is his best chance to win. And then I forget the 4th team off the top of my head that I was thinking about, but the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think he would want to go there. The Jets have a top 10, probably top 5 defense. They're in a division that has Buffalo sitting at the top, but is winnable if Buffalo doesn't advance a little bit of their football team. And this offense is completely lateral to what everybody knows in New York when it comes to the scheme and their terminology. This is brilliant by New York. You get a good – and Stephen A., I'd say this. I love Russell Wilson. I'm pulling for Russell Wilson to rebound. Nathaniel Hackett and the play calls were not the problem in Denver this year. Russell did not play well. Russell Wilson just didn't play well. Okay? This guy can call plays. He knows offensive football. It's a phenomenal hire for the New York Jets with where they are right now. This is smart. This is smart by the Jets. I'm telling you, it's smart.
I am not saying that the man does not know what he's doing.
You said he stunk last year.
What we have to go on. Listen, I said he stunk last year. They stunk last year. They did. Okay? What I'm saying is that prior to that, obviously, he had a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you're telling me they're going to get Aaron Rodgers, cool. I'm with that. I'm thinking along the lines, my fear is that they're going to end up without Aaron Rodgers, stuck with Wilson, okay, and then Hackett has to work with that.
No
and
shot.
If you couldn't work with Russell Wilson, I don't think you're gonna. I don't think you can work. I don't think you're gonna work with Zach Wilson or whomever they have there. That's all I'm saying.
There is a 0% chance that the Jets go into next season with just Zach Wilson as the quarterback. They are one. They need to.
Okay.
It is a must-win season for Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, their head coach. What are the options?
I agree.
Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe. You know, maybe. Derek Carr, maybe. So let's live in the hypothetical world. If you're Aaron Rodgers, do the Jets look appealing right now?
Yes, they should.
Okay, if you're the Green Bay Packers and the Jets call and say, we're going to give you two first-round picks. Listen, Aaron doesn't want to be there anymore. Whatever. They're going to give you two first-round picks and a second-round pick. Are you going to trade Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets?
I don't know what the Packers would do. I know if I was the Jets, I would offer it.
So Aaron's going to have a say of where he can go. According to Shefty, he says that like they're going to work with Aaron and the Packers are going to work together to send him to a place that he prefers to go to. It's not a no-trade clause. Prefers to go to.
Okay.
If you're Aaron Rodgers and you look at the scope of everything, and let's say Green Bay wants to move on.
I want him in New York.
And now you got a guy that you know the offense, so maybe like the desire for the offseason, you got to be there. You know the offense. You know the guy. There are talented players.
But Dan, man.
What do you
mean?
You're
having a conversation about Hackett paired with Aaron Rodgers. I'm just talking about Hackett on his own. As an individual, without the services of Aaron Rodgers coming off the year that Jets had in Denver, I just think it's a little risky after that kind of experience. What I saw in Denver this year, I just don't know.
The 2 years before in Green Bay don't count when he.
That was Aaron Rodgers. That was Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking. I just finished saying. I'm not saying about Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers is there. I'm looking at Hackett on his own without Aaron Rodgers, and it scares me.
So the job he did to take Jacksonville to the AFC title game, that doesn't with Blake Bortles, that doesn't I mean the guy can call plays. He's a good offensive mind.
That was a few years ago. All right, that's fine. That was a few years ago. I wasn't that high on Jacksonville's offense. I wasn't high on Blake Bortles. You do know that, right? I mean, we weren't high on Blake Bortles. You do understand that, right?
No.
I mean that's not beyond the realm of comprehension. You do get that, don't you?
I do. All right. So, but Stephen A., if you're the Jets.
Right? You just brought up Blake Bortles. I wasn't thinking about no damn Blake Bortles. You brought him up.
And the coach got Blake Bortles to the AFC title game. Would that imply that the coach maybe doesn't stink?
Huh? Would that not imply that Tom Coughlin, who's a two-time Super Bowl championship winner running an organization, that he has something to do with that? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
All right.
So
I'll defer. I'll defer. But don't bring me no damn Blake Bortles.
If the Jets
had a running game and had a defense.
If the Jets get Aaron Rodgers, you think this is a good decision?
I don't give a damn who their offensive coordinator is. I wouldn't even be thinking about who their offensive coordinator is if I had Aaron Rodgers. It wouldn't even matter to me.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Because he's a bad man.
You're out. He's back to being a bad
man. Come on, man. He's out of my mind, man. You're just sitting up here talking.
He's back to being a bad man.
You know what you're talking like you didn't see what happened.
He's back to being a bad man. I was on TV with you this year every Monday.
He is a bad man.
He's back
First
to being
time
it
I because heard there
was
that
a
time
he's a bad man. It was a disappointing season, but he's a bad man. He's still a bad man now.
You're honest.
I ain't lose my mind.
Your team Rodgers.
I know what
now?
He can do
again. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying I'm not very disappointed season yet.
But come on, man.
Don't act like Daniel Hackett didn't have that year in Denver. You saw it.
All right.
Nathaniel.
Come on, man. No.
Oh my gosh.
No.
You drive me nuts.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Quick takes, let's get it. Anthony Davis returned to the Lakers lineup Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs, scoring 21 points in a 113-104 loss. Stephen A., what's this mean for L.A. moving forward?
Well, obviously, Anthony Davis is a plus. We know what he brings to the table when he's healthy. The problem is you can't rely on him to stay healthy. That's the issue. But with him back, with LeBron playing the way that he's played, which has been phenomenal, with Russell Westbrook playing the way that he's played, which has been an incredible plus, and now Hachimura being acquired by the Lakers, I think the Lakers have a chance to make a little noise. We'll wait and see.
All right. Meanwhile, staying in the NBA, even though the NBA has tried to address Lloyd management nationally, televised games, it continues to be an issue for fans around the league. With no end in sight, teams have continued to choose to rest players, especially on consecutive nights. Most recently, a young fan in Miami went viral for holding up a sign saying he traveled over 4,000 miles to see Jimmy Butler play. However, Butler was ruled out shortly before the game due to back soreness. Butler did end up meeting the fan after the game, but it's clear fans are getting the short end of the stick when their favorite players sit out. Here's Hall of Famer Charles Barkley with more on load management.
First of all, it's embarrassing for the NBA, and I cannot wait for these owners to put their foot in their in this next CBA. These dudes gonna do something to these players. They gonna be like, wait a minute, you can't make $50 million and not play half the season, okay? Because now you just really just like slapping me in my face, taking my check twice a month. I see guys that got a sore hip or something. I'm like, everybody's sore in the NBA after 20, 30, 40 games. I think it's going to be very interesting in the next CBA because billionaires always wins against millionaires. And I think those owners are going to try to do something.
S.A., J. Will back here with us. How can load management get fixed?
First of all, it has to. I think it's important to say that. I also think it's important to point out that I don't entirely agree with Charles Barkley in this respect. It's not all the players' fault. There are teams that are encouraging players to do this as well. You have management and ownership bringing their heavy hand down upon strength and conditioning coaches, trainers, et cetera, and keeping players out from time to time as well. I've had several players tell me that. And I want to come to their defense, those who want to play and are held back from playing because management throws in their face, we've invested this money in you, we need you for such and such, this is what we're doing, whether you like it or not. I'm pretty sure the other day when Steve Kerr elects to sit four of his five starters, that four of those five starters all wanted to sit out the game at the same time. I'm quite sure somebody wanted to play and was willing to play. So I'm not going to sit up there and throw the players under the bus entirely. But make no mistake, those who are guilty of it deserve the wrath that Charles Barkley has articulated, deserves the wrath of the league office and what have you, because the fans are getting screwed over big time. The NBA product, if it's not careful, as popular as the sport is, and it's the sport that I love tremendously. I don't love anything more than I love the NBA. I'm a part of the NBA family. I'm always going to support the NBA, and I want the NBA to be big up as much as possible, Jay. But the point is, you got certain cats, man, and it's like, how are you sitting on the bench on a Friday night, Jay, because you hurt, but you fresh Saturday? How is it that you, the Clippers, a few weeks ago, and you're getting annihilated in Denver so badly that Ty Lue elects to bench the starters at halftime, and a Kawhi Leonard and a Paul George plays 16, 17 minutes respectively, but then you ain't available for the next night in Minnesota? It's like you got fans, and then not only that, you got these cats that's sitting on the bench on the road. Like, it's a road game. It ain't at home when they sit there. They sitting on the road. Got 41 games a night on your home court. It's the road teams that rarely get to see you. LeBron don't come to every city every day. You know, Giannis and all of these other great players and Steph, they don't come there every day. And so when you're on the road and you're missing games, and there seems to be, and a lot of it, Jay, is optics. When you're Agreed. Sitting on the bench, you in street clothes, and you got a smile on your face, and it's no big deal. There seems to be no reason why you can't play. So I would say in closing this, NBA owners, first, they got to fess up to their role in all of this, okay? Because the biggest culprit of load management, the initiator of it all was Greg Popovich. We all know this, right? But outside of that, the biggest thing is you got to attach game participants. You got to attach playing games to their contracts. Like, you know, your contract's guaranteed as long as you're going to show up and play. Or you got a legitimate injury and you can't play. Somehow you got to figure it out. I don't know, Jay. I'm not pretending to know specifically the answer. I'm just saying that the message has to be sent. We can't continue to pay people who ain't showing up to play because it's compromising our bottom line. You got to be able to do that.
I always want people to be able to enjoy basketball, Stephen A. Like, I'm a hooper. You're a hooper. We both look at the game in similar ways in that capacity. But, you know, sometimes I get frustrated at the way this aspect of basketball is talked about nationally, because it's a very hot topic, which I only think really applies to a certain few players in the NBA, or maybe some teams that try to skirt Correct. Around the issue, right? But now it becomes everybody in the NBA. Like, even that graphic, right? We're going to sit here and try on national TV to say that Giannis is not one of the dudes that tries to battle through. I'm sorry, I saw that dude come back on a hyperextended knee during the NBA Finals.
Exactly.
Like, Jimmy Butler plays a rugged style of basketball, which he's always banged up. Joel Embiid has a history of injuries. Now, Kawhi Leonard, history of injuries, I get how that narrative is around Kawhi. But it's also like, when you ever buy a plane ticket, has anybody ever read the fine print on the plane ticket? And it tells you in all the capacities in which your ticket could be null and void. If you ever read the fine print on an NBA ticket, I hear what you're complaining about, but the fine print says a lot of different things, right? About what the lead is not responsible for in a lot of different ways for you going to a game. So it also comes back to, Stephen A., what do we value, right? Do we value the regular season, or do we value the postseason? So that's my first thing. My second thing, Stephen A., is that, which really gets me angry, do we have better phones than we did 15 years ago? Like, do we have better cars than what we did 15 years ago? Do we have better airplanes? Do we have better laptops, computers? Yep. Everything is better now. But the one thing we act like isn't better.
I don't know about the airplane part.
Okay.
I don't know about the airplane part, but I got you.
But for the most part, I say everything's better. How are we going to act like the science around the game isn't better than what it was before? Guys are running 3.5 miles per game now. The pace of the game is exponentially faster than it's ever been before. The amount of possessions is 70x to what it used to be 15, 20 years ago. So nagging injuries catch up to you differently. And I get that Michael Jordan, out of 15 years, played 9 seasons where he played 82 games. But guess what? We're going to look at the injuries that Michael Jordan sustained in this game today differently than we would have looked at it 20 years ago. Yes, we would have. We would have looked at it differently, Stephen A., because we're protecting our investment.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? We're protecting our investment.
You're right. Yeah, you would look at it differently. The point that I was trying to make, though, is this, Jay. You bring up Michael Jordan. You bring up Kobe and others, okay? You had people who played and conditioned themselves to play as many games as possible during a regular season to prepare themselves for the postseason, okay? Mm-hmm. I listened to Frank Isola and Brian Scalabrine this morning when you know I had a few minutes, and coincidentally I heard them talking about Jason Tatum, and Scalabrine was highlighting how Jason Tatum works out religiously after the games, and pushes himself to play as many games. He's only missed three games this year. And pushes himself to play as many games as possible because he believes that makes him conditioned better for the postseason. And you had some people who felt that way. We can debate it, you know, till the cows come home. And I don't, and I'm in no position to debate you with what you saying when you bring up science. What I'm talking about, Jay, is an attitude on the part of the players. If you know that 19,000 people came to an arena to see you, it might help if you wasn't sitting on a bench in street clothes with a smile on your face, walking and jumping around like there was nothing wrong with you when they came to see you play. You see what I'm saying? It's like you got a guard against
that. Not really.
And what you have is a situation. What you have is a situation. We're seeing it too often. Again, no one's questioning the legitimacy of injuries. What we're saying is we know that load management is an element in the game. We know that the players are not only the ones guilty of it. You have management and executives and owners that play a role in it. But we also have to acknowledge that with the money that's in the game and the money that the players are getting paid, there are times where they give you the impression, so what? Deal with it. This is the way it is. Get over it. So what? You paid your money. And I'm saying you got to be careful about that. You have to be mindful of the fact that somebody might not know better. And all they know is that they traveled 3,000 miles to see you play. Or they came to the game once because they can't afford season tickets. You got to pay attention to all of these things.
Stephen, I understand all that, but I can't make everybody happy all the damn time. I can't make everybody happy all the time.
Well,
so you're telling me a kid that
actually
drives all the way to see me play in Chicago when I played my year for the Bulls,
no,
I happen to roll my ankle and I'm sitting out because the team's like, we're on a back-to-back and
that's
we want to make sure
I
that you're ready for it.
That's not what I said.
But we start questioning the legitimacy of injuries. That's what we're doing. We're saying, well, you know what? Because guys 20 years – I'm just saying how fans look at it, Stephen A. I'm not saying you. But it's like, well, because guys 20 years ago played through that injury. That means since I came all the way down here, you have to play through that injury. I'm like, well, hold on a second. The science is telling me I shouldn't play through this injury because there's a lingering effect on what this happens. So if you want to fix it, then let's drop it down to 70 games. Let's cancel back-to-backs. There's going to be an economic issue with that, but let's lower games then.
Wait a minute. I'm with Steve Kerr on this. I don't mind the season being dropped to 72 games.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me at all. But how much you want to make a bet? I'm willing to bet my check that it could be 72 games and you still going to have cats that take nights off. And, oh, by the way, they'll be ready to play tomorrow night. You know, there's a difference between being injured and resting.
I agree.
There's a difference. Jay, you're not always in the best mood. You're not always pepped up and hyped and energized to go to work every day. But you go. What I'm saying to you is that from an optics perspective, you have to guard against that when you're asking people to invest in you. You can't dismiss their concerns why you want their money.
Well, brother, what you're investing in is you're investing in the physical aspects of who that player is. That's different than saying, hey, when you show up to work, like, yeah, I'll go to work every single day. I'm using my mind. Some days I'm laggish. But other days, like when you're going through physically playing 72 games, if you do have a calf strain, that calf strain, if you take a night off, will exponentially help you get better. So I hear what you're saying optically, but you're not going to be able to really fix it because guys are going to say, I'm doing what's in my best interest for my body, not the team, not the fan, but me.
But Jay, what I'm saying to you is this. You're acting like somebody is not taking injury. If you injured, you injured, bro. No one should question Giannis. Kevin Durant has been out for weeks. No one has said a word. Why? Because his reputation is that of a baller. He wants the ball all day, every day, no matter what. No one has said a word about him. LeBron was an Iron Man for years. He misses games sometimes. People don't say anything. Why? Because we know what LeBron has been made of. Russell Westbrook never cheats us. He takes a night off. Nobody says anything because his reputation is that he's coming to ball all the time. I'm saying to you, optically, they sent that message years ago. This is who they are. This is what their passion is. They care about it, and people don't question it. But you do have others that people have a lot of questions about, and when they seem to play one day but don't want to play the next, and you've already missed the games, and you got 6 months off because you didn't play in the playoffs either, and all of this other stuff, and the money is there, and the technology is there. We're like, what the hell are you doing
that
you can't go out on the court and play?
Who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Look, let's name them. Who are the players? Because we keep talking about this umbrella
that's not
Stephen
fair.
A, optically, what happens, it
that's
becomes
not fair.
The players.
Because if I say that, then that's going to be unfair.
But Stephen A., it's not like, what are we talking about 6-7 players that we have major gripes about out of all the players in the league? That's not the entire league.
Wait,
but that's what we do.
Wait, time out. Come on, Jay. Jay, with all due respect, that's acting ignorant.
But Stephen A., half the time it's the team.
Because you know that the league sells stars. And the stars matter. They matter. You know that. Why are you acting like you don't know that?
I disagree with you.
It matters.
Cancel back-to-backs because coaches are the ones saying, I don't know if I want you playing back-to-backs because we got this long road trip coming up.
I agree with that.
Like, there's certain things that they could do that would change the mindset of guys.
Jay, we've had players who didn't have back-to-back missing games. Missing weeks.
I'm just saying.
You have players questioning other players. I don't know why he going this long. That injury didn't take me that long to get over. You've had
different
players saying this about each other. What are you talking about?
Different strokes for different folks, Stephen A.
Okay. Something has to be done. Something has to be done.
Realistically, what are you going to do?
You can't mandate.
Well, you can't tell me if I'm injured that you're not really injured. No, I'm injured. How are you going to handle that in the CBA?
How much you want to make a bet? How much you want to make a bet? A lockout is coming. How much you want to make a bet?
I can see that.
You said they can't do something?
I can see them. They're going to have to meet middle ground then. Because I know the players ain't just going to say, you can't just mandate I play these certain amount of games to get contract.
That's right.
Ooh, hope it happens. You and me.
And the minute they sign their name on a dotted line, they looking forward to their next contract. Come on, man.
All right, all this TV money and live sporting rights. We'll see.
We'll see. Love debate. Embrace debate. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's championship weekend, and we have our gambling guru, Joe Fortenbaugh, here with us live from Las Vegas. Joe, here's what I need to know. Did you see the tease when I had the money gun getting ready for you? Did you see it? No?
Molly, I'm skipping through all that. I want to apologize on behalf of Eagles fans everywhere for what we did to your Giants last weekend. If only someone had come on this show to give you a warning about that. We're sorry what we had to do.
Sorry, couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
I did.
I hear you. I missed that. My IFP must have went out. I apologize. Sorry. Hey, Great win. Listen, we were outclassed. It was bad. It was bad. I have nothing to say. It was horrible. I shut it off at halftime. All right, that's all I got to say. Big win for Philadelphia. Cool story. Yeah. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Philadelphia, 2.5-point home favorites against San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. What do you like here, Joe?
It's a good number, but I will lay the 2.5 with Philadelphia. Brock Purdy's been great, but we've only seen him on the road twice. Seattle and Las Vegas. Those two teams do not rank in the top 20 in defense. Philadelphia does. They're sixth in DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, and they're number one against the pass. That is going to be a problem for Purdy in this matchup. Keep in mind, San Francisco's bye week was week 9. This is their 12th consecutive week playing a game. Philly had the bye 2 weeks ago. Philly has an extra day of rest coming into this game. I think the Eagles handle their business here with a raucous Lincoln Financial Field, and they cover the 2.5.
I think it'll be tight until the end, but I'd ultimately think that it lends itself towards Philadelphia covering the 2.5. I think you are right on this pick. I have to give you credit where credit is due. Your points are on point. Way to go. Way to go, Joe Flacco. Way to go.
I feel like I'm getting baited.
All right.
You got it. Go ahead, Molly.
What's your favorite prop bet for the NFC Championship game?
All right, quarterback Brock Purdy, we just talked about him, and now he's going to struggle in the passing game. I like him to run for over 9.5 yards. It's the playoffs. Everyone's putting their body on the line. Purdy's had 2 playoff games. He's had at least 8 rushing yards in both those games. Philadelphia has not been defending running quarterbacks. They've given up the 4th most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks this season. So Purdy drops back. There's lots of crowd noise. He looks around. He's facing the top passing defense in the NFL. Tuck and run, young man. Tuck and run. I think he goes over 9.5 rushing yards.
I mean, 9.5 rushing yards. I mean, he might do it on 9 runs. So, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, if he's going to get over 9.5 rushing yards, I mean, he'll be running for his life most of the game as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how – I don't know what a challenge is that. Of course I'm going to go with him rushing for over 9.5 yards because I think that he'll spend a lot of time running for his life. Sure, I'll go with that.
All right, to the AFC Championship game, guys. Cincinnati is giving 1 point on the road at Kansas City. What's the play?
I like Cincinnati to win the game. One of two things is going to happen here. Either Patrick Mahomes is hurt, and that's going to be great for Cincinnati because Mahomes' feet and his mobility, very important to what he does. There's a reason Kansas City's so solid on third down. He can elude the rush. He can buy extra time for his receivers down the field, and then he can throw those darts. It's going to be tough to plant on that leg. It's going to be tough to run on that leg. And Cincinnati, we've seen how they've played throughout the course of the playoffs. Now, let's look at the other option here. Maybe Patrick Mahomes is healthy. In that case, he's already lost 3 in a row to Cincinnati. Even a healthy Mahomes is still a winnable situation for us and the Bengals here. In that game against Jacksonville, he did not look good in the second half. He ran for close to 400 yards this year. You take away his mobility, you limit this offense. I like the Bengals to win the game outright.
Stephen A., what do you like?
Wow. Joe Fortenbaugh, 3 for 3 this week. I got to roll with him on this one. I think that, you know what, Burrow's had Mahomes' number. He's not 100%. Tyreek Hill is not there. It's calling for Juju Smith-Schuster and the Noah Grays of the world and others to step up and to be something. We don't know they're capable of being as of yet. I'm not throwing any shade on them. I'm just saying this is the AFC Championship game and the reliable weapons that the Kansas City Chiefs are accustomed to having. They're one short in a very lethal and big-time manner. I'm going to have to go with what Joe Fortenbaugh just outlined about Joe Burrow and the crew. I'm going to take the plus one.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, this calls for celebration. And this just feels right on so many levels. Someone's a New York Times bestseller today. Shoot, I ran out. Books. Oh, that felt good. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I just wanted to do that. Thanks, guys. Joe, good stuff, right? That's what you do in Vegas. You make money. We're trying to make people money. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are first across the board in QBR, offensive efficiency, and yards per game. But that's not all. KC led the NFL in scoring in regular season, but the number one scoring offense hasn't made the Super Bowl since 2016, the Falcons, and hasn't won the Super Bowl since the 2009 Saints. Hi again. Solo dolo. There's my friends. Which team remaining has the best offense, Dan?
I'll say Philadelphia Eagles. I think they have the best offensive line left. I think they have the best offensive line in the NFL. I think they have the most athletic and physical offensive line in the NFL. Football always has and always will start there offensively. I also think that they can't be wrong on a lot of their plays. You know, they, Molly, if you go back, like even against the Giants, the Eagles ran like five or six plays. But with Jalen Hurts, those plays have like four or five different options every single play. Imagine how stressful that is for a defense. Not only do you have to contend against trying to find a guy, are we good enough to cover Devontae Smith? Do we have people good enough to cover A.J. Brown? Can we handle some of the speed on the perimeter? Do we have people who are not only athletic enough but physical enough to tackle Jalen Hurts when he does choose to become a ball carrier? There's so much different level. There's so many different levels to this Philadelphia Eagles offense. So I think that I said this the other day. All four football teams left, all offenses are they have an advantage both in scheme and talent. But Philadelphia has a big advantage in both scheme and talent and nuance of their offense when it comes to being able to play 11-on-11 football. None of the other three teams want to play in that style. I think we took for granted, at least I did, how great Jalen Hurts is and all the impact that he has on everybody on this offense and how much easier he makes all their jobs. Philadelphia, man, is so difficult to stop.
I get where you're coming from, Dan. I would tell you that I'm going to disagree for the moment and tell you about the Cincinnati Bengals. We spent a lot of time talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and what they bring to the table. We know what Jalen Hurts does. We know what they've been doing with their running attack. We know how potent their offensive line is. A.J. Brown is that stud. Tennessee should have never lost them. Devontae Smith out of Alabama has lived up to expectations. To some degree, Goddard is no joke. We understand this. Do you realize that the Cincinnati Bengals have won 10 straight games?
Yeah.
You realize the Cincinnati Bengals haven't lost. I'm going to look this up here. Cincinnati has not lost a game since Halloween in the National Football League.
Who'd they lose to?
October 31st. October 31st to the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Two picks. All right. Okay, the Buffalo game got postponed, obviously, in light of the Hamlin situation. Thank God he's okay. They've won 10 straight. They haven't lost a game since Halloween. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow is completing 68% of his passes, thrown 35 touchdowns, and has people mentioning him in the light of Joe Montana and Tom Brady and people like that. We know what Jamar Chase is. We know what T. Higgins can bring to the table. Mixon coming out of the backfield has been running the football effectively. Because of the way Burrow has been throwing the football, not in any way minimizing or throwing shade on the profound impact that clearly Jalen Hurts, a top two candidate for league MVP, and clearly the runaway winner for Most Improved Player Award. We get all of that. But Joe Burrow is the reigning AFC champion. Okay? And knowing that, everybody was talking about Buffalo and Kansas City, and all he's done is say, y'all must have forgot, and has methodically went about the business of busting one person's you-know-what after the other.
Yeah, it's bad.
For the last two, nearly three, it's January 26th. We're 5 days away from January 31st. He wins this game. He will not have lost in 3 months. In the National Football League. I just want everybody to remember that.
That's stupid.
And understand, we can talk about Cincinnati's defense. We can talk about all this other stuff. But everything starts with Joe Burrow. If it wasn't for Joe Burrow, Bengals fans would still have bags over their heads. Calling themselves the Ingles. Okay? Taking the B out of it. That's what they would be doing. That's what this brother brings to the table. I'm just saying.
He's a bad dude. You ain't got to convince me.
But I'm just going to roll with that right now. He's a bad brother now.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I've been ever since 2019. I think if we look at Joe Burrow, I don't disagree with you, Stephen A. Like, I do because I picked the Eagles because they're offensive line. But I can't sit here and get into an argument about it with you because, I mean, I love Joe Burrow in that offense. So,
last point. Last year, he got sacked 51 times, if I remember correctly. I don't have the number in front of me. I think it was 51 times. And I know he got hit at least another 40 times. He got sacked another 20 times in the postseason or whatever. It's like 71 sacks crying out. It's some crazy number like that.
Right.
They still went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They still went to
if the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl this year, I'm it's just the greatest to turnaround in North American sports history.
Joe Burrow is that dude. That's all I'm saying. That's all
Dan,
I'm saying.
This is goodbye for now. I hope you find all those missing socks. Maybe I'll see you on NFL Live later, and I will see you in studio on Monday to break down all championship weekend. Can't wait for that. With the Playmaker, NRC, and SA.
Don't miss me too much,
our Mondays.
Let me get $300, Stephen A., so I can get a parking pass. Thank you.
Oh, let me get that money gun back, and I can help you out.
Absolutely not.
It's my new best friend.
Skate.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
3 years ago today, a day nobody will forget, we lost one of the all-time greats, Kobe Bean Bryant, passing away in a tragic helicopter accident. Stephen A., I cannot believe that it's been 3 years, and I was just thinking about it with Jay quickly. We were all in Miami for the Super Bowl, and then I remember this happening. We flew to L.A., but that's enough of me. We don't have a lot of time. I want to hear from you guys. Stephen A.?
I miss my brother. He was one of the most brilliant dudes I've ever seen. His hard work, his dedication, his focus to his craft, his love for his family, his love for the game of basketball. We got to know more about him, a lot more after he passed away. A lot of people got to know a lot more, but those of us like myself and Jay and obviously the NBA community knew him far more intimately, and it's still devastating to think about it. It's still something, it's still like a pall hovering over the city of Los Angeles that you don't get to see him any longer. We really, really miss him. We always will.
You know, Stephen A., Kobe was like a big brother to me. And I know that in certain games, if you were to lose the game, there would be no time to cry about spilt milk.
Yeah.
And I think the way I try to best remember him is through my actions every single day. With how I confront issues, how I attack life. And I'll tell you one thing, man, it changes everything. Every time I walk through my door at my home and I see my kids, that day forever changed my life, forever changed my life.
The Mamba mentality is literally being the best version of yourselves. And if you are someone that believes in the power of prayer, we should all be praying for Vanessa and the entire family today for this difficult day, having to relive everything and lift them up the best that they can so they can get through what's a challenging day. Absolutely.
All the victims, yes.
Yeah, all the victims. You're right. Yep, absolutely.
All of them.
All right. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.